Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man now, also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Pray for Anne. Lord, we want to thank you for your word, the truth of your word, that it and the power of your word, and you communicate that to us. We thank you that it creates faith in us, it transforms us, and it conforms us to the image of Christ. And so we are blessed as we hear the ministry of your word through teaching and preaching. And that's what you use, something simple and yet profound. So we pray for Ian as he speaks to us, as he shares his insights that you've given him. Might it be insights that we receive and are able to put into practice and encourage us in our faith so that we might better love you and better serve you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Paul. Yes, good morning, everyone. Just getting all the paperwork organised, and I was reminded of the story of the minister that got up to preach, and he was talking about Adam and Eve, and as he's getting there, and he says, and Adam said, then he realised he didn't have the next page, and he said, I think I'm missing a leaf. Philemon, what is it, Apphia, my beloved? Tychicus is here, and he's got Onesimus with him. What, here, now? Yes, and they've got letters from Paul and Timothy. One is for the church at Laodicea, but one's got your name on it, and one's for our house church. Well, come on, dear, let's make them welcome and hear what they've got to say. Better get our son Archippus to nip round to everyone and tell them we'll be having church after work tonight. Over the last six Sundays, we've heard what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae. I bet it didn't take 6 weeks to read the letter when they got it. I could imagine the whole church crowding around and soaking up every word that Paul had written, and then asking Tychicus and Onesimus all sorts of questions about Paul and what had happened to him, and what about Epaphras and Luke and Aristarchus and Mark. I believe it's very important for us to know who these people are. If the encouragement in Colossians is like waves washing over us, then I picture the final greetings in the book of Colossians are like the gentle waves washing up on the beach and sparkling in the sun. We always like to be acknowledged, especially by friends who are far away at the time. And so I'm going to, first of all, look at some of those names of the people who are mentioned at the end of Colossians. Firstly, Aristarchus. This was a fellow that anyone would want for a friend. My fellow prisoner sends his greetings in the letters to Colossae and Philemon. He was one of those faithful companions of the Apostle Paul who shared with him his labours and sufferings. Aristarchus and Gaius were the ones seized by the excited Ephesians during the riot in Ephesus. We learned that Thessalonica was his home. He was one of those who went with Paul from Greece via Macedonia, having preceded Paul to Troas, where they waited for him. Then they travelled with Paul all the way to Palestine. He is next mentioned as accompanying Paul to Rome. There he attended Paul and has shared his imprisonment. According to tradition, but not the Bible, he was martyred during the persecution of Nero. Then there was Tychicus. He was the postman for Paul as he came from the area of Ephesus, Colossae, and Laodicea. He's also mentioned in the letter to the Ephesus church, so it seems he had delivered their letter on the way to Colossae. But Tychicus was so much more than a postman. He was a key player in the spread of the gospel and the growth of the churches. He had travelled with Paul from Corinth to Jerusalem with the collection that had been made for the Jerusalem church. We know that Paul is taken off to Rome from Jerusalem after he was arrested and appealed to Caesar. We read that Tychicus is in Rome with Paul, who was in chains. Paul still wanted to encourage the Christians in the places where he had founded churches, so he sent Tychicus and, of course, Onesimus. We'll get to him in a minute. When Paul wants Titus to leave the work on the island of Crete, Tychicus is one of the men he considers sending there to replace him. Everything we know about Tychicus fully bears out the description of his character given by the apostle himself, that he was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. Come to Timothy. When Paul was almost certain that he was going to die at the hands of Nero, it was Timothy he summoned to join him in Rome. He said, "Get here as fast as you can. Luke is the only one here with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. He'll be my right-hand man for the ministry." Paul calls Timothy, "my beloved and faithful son in the Lord." What a blessing to Paul and the whole church was this timid young man who had to learn that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. Mark. Now, Mark is there with Paul in Rome, sending greetings. He's known to all the churches. Well, he wrote the script for an action movie. The Gospel of Mark is a favourite for getting children to act out the stories of Jesus. His favourite word was immediately. His writing is vivid with lots of details describing Jesus' power and authority. That inspires awe and amazement in the onlookers. One gets the feeling that he is describing how he felt as he heard the stories from Peter. He first went with Paul and Barnabas from Jerusalem up to Antioch and accompanied them on that first great missionary journey as far as Perga, where he left them and returned home. On the second missionary tour, Paul refused to take him and parted from Barnabas, who was Mark's cousin. But now, 10 years later, when the letter is sent to Colossae, he's right there with Paul. But afterward, he's evidently been sent on a mission because Paul has to ask Timothy to get Mark and bring him with you to Rome. How precious to see all these men working together to serve the Lord. Of course, then there was Luke. Luke gets a mention. Luke the doctor, our dear friend, is what Paul calls him. He not only wrote the Gospel of Luke, but wrote the account of how the Holy Spirit guided the disciples to spread the gospel. He travelled much with Paul, but noticeably was with Paul on his journey to Rome when they were shipwrecked. This man was not just a writer and a historian, a doctor and a fellow believer. He was an encourager and confidant who enabled Paul to continue spreading the gospel message even when his life was on the line. And then Epaphras is mentioned. Well known to the churches of Colossae, Ephesus, Laodicea and Hierapolis, Paul says he's one of you and a bondslave of Christ Jesus, and he sends greetings. But what a man! He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Working hard in prayer, that is. God bless our prayer warriors. Nympha. We get just a small glimpse at Laodicea in this reference to this lady. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. The ability to use our possessions, especially our houses, to serve the Lord is no small thing. Making people welcome at church is important, but how do we use our homes to share the gospel and make disciples? That's important too. And Archippus, this fellow soldier, as he is called, is a member of Philemon's household, probably his son, but obviously has been given a particular ministry to carry out, and he needs encouragement to get on and do it. Are you like that? Is your partner like that? We all need to be encouraged to do the ministry that God has given us. That gentle encouragement. In Romans 12, we're exhorted, we have diverse gifts according to the grace that is given to us. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in serving. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with generosity. He who rules, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Which one of those do you fit into? Grace gifts are not just names, they are actions. Actions for us to carry out for the benefit of others in the body. So, like Archippus, get on and do it. Let us see what Paul expects of Philemon, and by inference, Apphia and Archippus, since it is their home. The book of Philemon clearly shows that God is not just interested in church and its doctrines. This book is about one household, one family, the relationship between one slave and his master. God is interested in each one of us and the relationships we have with each other. The book is titled Philemon, but it's to do with a slave named Onesimus. who had run away from his owner, Philemon, in Colossae. It seems he has stolen from his master as well. He lands in Rome and either by accident or by his own design met up with Paul, who promptly led the runaway slave to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul had already been planning to send a letter to the Colossian church by the hand of Tychicus. So about AD 60 or 61, from a prison cell in Rome, Paul wrote a personal letter to Philemon and sent Onesimus the slave back to Colossae. What do you do with a runaway slave who becomes a Christian and comes back home? Paul is very respectful of the situation that Philemon is in, but he calls Philemon our dear friend and fellow worker. They have worked together in sharing the gospel. Clearly, kinship existed between Paul and Philemon that enabled Paul to make this request. When you have worked with another believer in sharing the gospel, a special bond is generated. I treasure the friends I have served with in various places. When we meet up, we have instant rapport as if we hadn't been apart. I still remember the beautiful girl I worked with on beach mission. Well, yes, I married her. But there are other fellow workers who are far away now, and I remember them fondly. Is this something you have experienced? Where was it? What was it like? Do you remember the people you worked with? Is there still a friendship even after a long time apart? Perhaps you might share it during open worship. Philemon lives up to his name. His name means affectionate. Because his love for all God's people and his faith have been reported to Paul. I like the way the Message puts this in verses 4 to 7. It says, every time your name comes up in my prayers, I say, oh, thank you, God. I keep hearing of the love and faith you have for the Master Jesus, which brims over to other believers. And I keep praying this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do and that people recognize Christ in all of it. Friend, you have no idea how good your love makes me feel. Doubly so when I see your hospitality to fellow believers. There it is, hospitality to fellow believers. So Paul then raises the matter of a fellow believer who is in need of some hospitality and some forgiveness. He is the runaway slave, Onesimus. What has happened that this slave is willing to return? One thing's for sure, it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. Onesimus may have known Paul from Colossae, but meeting Paul in Rome has clearly changed his life. Meeting up with Paul was to meet up with the Lord Jesus, whom Paul preached and talked about all the time. Even in prison, the guards and jailers were converted as they heard about Jesus, the Son of God, giving his life to pay for the sins of the people. A just God says, your debt is paid if you own up to it and accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Even a runaway slave who stole from his master could be forgiven by a holy God. But could he be forgiven by the master he had wronged? Onesimus had now found in Rome what he didn't find in Colossae, the love of God. He could now at last live up to his name. Onesimus means useful. He became useful to Paul in the prison, but the question had come up. How could Onesimus put right the wrong he had done his master? Was it even possible? Well, we all know that working together will cause problems. That's to be expected. It's how we resolve the problems that can bring glory to God, or not. Paul had had his share, him and Barnabas over Mark, Jewish Christians and Paul, now Onesimus and Philemon. It happens in everyday situations when we say things that hurt, and when we do things without caring. As married couples, we have to work through those things that we disagree about. It's normal. There are things from our past that colour how we perceive what is said and done. We can misunderstand another person's words or intentions without even trying. Famous economist once said, "I know you think you understand what you thought I said, but I'm not sure that you realize that what you heard is not what I meant." Thank you, Alan Greenspan. I'm learning to say more frequently these days, "You're probably right, I may well be wrong." I'm not right as often as I used to be. So it is grace that we need to show each other. You know, like that tax collector who went up to the temple to pray with bowed head and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." What is the difference that Christ makes? What happened to Onesimus? God showed me how this could work through the story of an 8-year-old autistic boy. He had not responded to anyone in his life, not to his parents, not his sister, or his carers at the centre. One day when he was sitting in the sandpit, just sitting there with a carer, he started to make lines in the sand with a twig. The carer speaking to him had no effect. But an idea came to the carer. She picked up another twig and then drew a circle right around them both. This 8-year-old boy, for the first time in his life, looked up into the carer's eyes and smiled. Each of us wants our own space. We all have strayed like sheep and gone our own way. It's when we realize that a loving Heavenly Father has drawn a circle of love that encompasses us that we can look into His face and see Him smile. It's the Lord Jesus who drew the circle that included us and all these other people that He has given us to work with. Paul says what he won't say. I could say I'm an apostle, and so you should do what I say, but I won't say that. Sounds like a political advert that I heard recently. But instead, I appeal, says Paul, on the basis of love. Our relationship is too important to allow for the possibility of a split. Paul goes on to say, we share a common faith in God that has led us both to grow in love for one another and we grow in our knowledge of God. Just remember all the things you have from God and that I'm an old man and in prison for Christ. When I appeal to you, or Onesimus, whose father I have become in my imprisonment. He was useless to you when he ran away, but now he has become useful to you and to me. Yes, Paul is appealing on the basis of the love that Paul and Philemon have for each other. This love is not just a brotherly love that two workers for the Lord would have. It includes that, but it's much more. It's the same love that drew them both into God's kingdom and now includes Onesimus. This is the love that desires the best, the ultimate good of the other person. Is Philemon ready to concede, to give up his right to be angry, to give up his right to exact justice for himself? Forgiveness doesn't come cheap. Remember Jesus. Paul hasn't finished yet. He doesn't say, "I'm sending the slave back." He says, "I'm sending this son of mine back to you. I'm sending my very heart." There are only three people in the Bible that Paul refers to as having become a father, that Paul refers to as having become a father to: Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus. He must have led countless others to the Lord, but these three were especially dear to him. No wonder the impassioned plea. So the slave is sent back to the master. Is that the basic truth here? Does Paul condone slavery? Paul does not oppose it outright, but that would be futile in his day and be a distraction. He knows that only when God has changed a person's heart can there be true freedom. So he sets his goals according to the work that God has given him. Then there will be neither slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul continues, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you would do would not seem forced, but be voluntary. I think Philemon's really got his arm up behind his back now. So Paul is not saying, I won't twist your arm, but do you give in? He says instead, I would like him back so he can continue to help me. Perhaps the reason he was separated for a little while was part of a larger plan by God. We cannot know the outcome of all that happens, but God does. Onesimus has come back voluntarily, a free choice, not as he left, a slave unwilling to be there in the household. He has come back as a beloved brother in Christ, willing to be served and be useful. The proof is in his service to Paul in prison. Is there someone you need to forgive? Do you resent a fellow believer? Have you experienced forgiveness? Could you share what it felt like? There are people in this congregation who have argued, who in the past have been on opposite sides of an issue. Perhaps there is someone who needs to know that God's love encompasses you both. What will you do about it? Get them to sit in the sandpit with you? Or maybe come for a meal? So Paul says, if we are partners in Christ, welcome Onesimus as you would welcome me. Any wrong he has done or anything he owes you, charge it to me personally. Oh, and did I mention that you owe me your very self? Paul had been the means of Philemon becoming a Christian. Given that perspective, what Paul was asking was a small thing. Dear brother Philemon, will you be a help to me, just the way Onesimus has, and refresh my heart in Christ? Paul is confident of the outcome. Forgiveness will flow freely. The relationship will be restored. No, better than that. They're brothers now, both serving the same master. Can't forget that PS that Paul included in his letter to Philemon. Get the guest room ready, because I hope to be restored to you all in answer to your prayers. It seems that Paul was in fact released, did some more travelling, but was imprisoned again later in Rome by Nero. And of course, there's more of those sparkling names that it is important for us to remember. Epaphras and Mark, Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, all Paul's fellow workers. Why should we remember them? Well, we're going to meet up with them one day. Thank you.